So, all right, moving on. We are doing a series on the book of the first epistle of John, or otherwise known as 1 John. And some of the reasons why we're doing it is I just find John to be a really interesting character. He undergoes a radical transformation. He's a man that's known as a son of thunder and wants to call down fire on a Samaritan village and just kind of, you know, don't worry about the collateral damage. Just destroy these men, women and children because they've rejected us. They've rejected you, Jesus. And, you know, Jesus has a teaching moment there with John and says, What are you doing? This is not what I'm about. But his character was one of anger and of you know, impetuousness and kind of like righteous indignation. And then he transforms. He's actually known. He writes the gospel, the gospel of John, and he's in that gospel. He's known as the beloved disciple, and he's goes on to be known as the apostle of love throughout the New Testament. And as you read 1 John, it's the words love, the words light. It just comes up over and over again. And he changed. And there's hope for all of us, right? There's hope for all of us. I've seen how I've changed in my life. You know, I've had my seasons of righteous indignation and of wanting to, you know, call down fire on the enemies of God at various times. And I thank God that I've changed over time, that I've matured, that I've become a bit more Christ-like. That's what the Christian life is like, right? Every day we're called to become a little bit more Christ-like. And over a lifetime, wow, you know, how we can change. And that's an example that I see in John's life. He was a man with an anger problem, but he becomes known as the beloved disciple, the apostle of love. And basically in 1 John, he's writing to a church. He's writing to the church in Ephesus. And he writes a message to the people that he's leading there. And he's focusing on their relationships. He's focusing on their relationships with each other. And, this is the wrong one. Should be week 3. I think we've got week 2 on there. That's okay. It's fine. I'll just keep going, and if we can find it and get it up, that'd be great. But otherwise, doesn't matter. You know what? I learned something when I went to Bible college that Jesus never used PowerPoints. And somehow he was still able to preach powerful messages that touch people's lives. And so this is a little bit of me becoming a bit more like Jesus every day, not relying on PowerPoints. So, but one of the things that, you know, the reason why I wanted to talk about 1 John and his focus on relationships is because our relationships with each other are essential. They're part of our essence in many. Our relationships with each other are essential. Not that we have to have them, but they're part of our essence. They flow out of us as who we are as human beings. You know, and part of who we are now as the church. Our essence, you know, if you were to break down into little tiny little bits who we are, it's essentially we're a family. Our relationships with each other are essential. It's part of our being. We are a family now. We're part of the family of God. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 says, "Oh, what manner of love the Father has given to us that we might be called children of God." If you're a child of God and I'm a child of God, that means that we're brothers and sisters in the family of God. We are a family. We are a new family. We're a new family from all the different families of the earth. We're a new family. We're a true family. We are the true family. And I say this as well. We are the eternal family. You know, my children will become a part of this eternal family. So that in the new creation, they're my brothers and sisters forever. And that's why, you know, that's why I try my best. I don't always succeed, but I personally try my best to get along with other Christians. Other Christians from other churches, other Christians in this church, other Christians from different parts around the world. You know, I try to love them because they're my family forever. We are a family. Our relationships with each other are essential. They're part of our essence. They're part of our being. Our relationships with each other are missional. This is why it's also important, why we're spending a bit of time on this. So it's who we are, but it's also incredibly important to what we do. You know, we have a mission, right? We gave our lives to Jesus. We made him king in our lives. And he didn't just kill us and take us home to heaven. He said, no, remain here and fulfill a mission that I have for you. Go and pray for sick children in the hospital. Reach out to your neighbors. Go onto the campus in Sri Lanka, in Melbourne University, in RMIT University, in Monash University. Go into the workplace. Be used by me wherever you happen to go. Our relationships with each other are missional. Jesus himself says, the world will know that you are my disciples by your love for one another. You know, the stronger, I believe this with all my heart, the stronger our relationships and our community here in Every Nation Melbourne, even given some of the obstacles that need to be over, the fact that we're spread out all across a city that's 10,000 square kilometres in size. Is it 10,000? Maybe it's 1,000. 10,000 sounds more impressive. 10,000 square kilometres. I think it's 1,000. 1,000 square kilometres. You know, we're spread out over a large geographical area. And that makes it sometimes inconvenient for us to catch up and spend time with each other, to do life with one another. But even in spite of some of the challenges that we may face, the stronger our relationships and community across Melbourne, the stronger the witness, the stronger the net. You know, when I connect with someone, you know, I'm able to say, hey, Cedric, you know, I've met someone and they're living near you. What is it? 9,990. So I was exaggerating by 10 square kilometres. So, I mean, that's huge, right? That's a massive area. Our relationships with each other are missional. The stronger our relationships and community across Melbourne, the stronger the net that we have for catching fish. We truly are better together. You know, I had the privilege of catching up with the campus director for Every Nation campus in Southern Africa, Carol Nkizi, and she gave me a book by the apostolic leader for Southern Africa, Roger Pierce. And it's called Better Together. And it's in the context of ministering together as the body of Christ in a racially divided nation, part of the world, in South Africa. And I've been reading it, and it's been incredibly powerful. Incredibly powerful. The book is called Better Together. And just reading the witness of this church, racially integrated church in a racially divided nation. Really, that's huge. And maybe Australia hasn't got as institutionalized the racial issues that South Africa's had. But I think our witness can still be powerful if we do choose to be the family that God's called us to be. If we do choose to say, you know what, we're better together. That no matter what our backgrounds are, no matter which part of Melbourne we're from, that if we would live together, serve one another, then that's going to impact and strengthen our mission. So, in chapter 2, we looked at this last week, the Apostle John, he uses the language of family, and we looked at the importance of fathers in families. And fathers, John writes, I write to you fathers because you know him who was from the beginning. You know, we looked at the importance of fathers on Father's Day. Fathers who prioritize knowing God above all else. And that's something that God's really been challenging me. Ken, do you know me yet? Are you investing in our relationship together? Will you be a father in this house that I've called you to be a father in, so that you can help children be born, that you can help children grow into young men, that you can help young men grow into fathers themselves? And that's, I suppose that's a season that God's personally challenging me in. And that's the challenge I put to us as a church. Can we be a church full of fathers, whether we're men, women, or young people? Can we be a church of fathers who help others to grow and to develop? Can we be a church of fathers who know him who was from the beginning? And then moving on to chapter 3 today, we continue looking at families, really. And this time we're looking at the difference between two brothers. All right, so 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. Verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or a sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. Verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. So just that, the very first verse that we read out, verse 11, says, for this is the message you've heard from the beginning, we should love one another. Love one another. This is the first message. You know, if we read the whole story of the Bible is about God calling his people to love him and to demonstrate that love for him by loving one another. This is the first message. It's the continuing message. It's the unchanging message. Jesus himself says, when asked about how to summarize the law, what are the most important commandments? First one is to love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. We should love one another. And here's John. He's going on and says it again. For this is the message you've heard from the beginning. You should love one another. I think this is what ties into what it means to be a father. In chapter 2, when John says, I write to you fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. This idea of you know him who is from the beginning. Well, who is he who is from the beginning? The one who loves. If we know him who was from the beginning, then we would do what the one who we know from the beginning does, which is love. This is the first message. This is the first message, love each other. It's the continuing message all throughout the Bible. It's the unchanging message. It's not easy. It's not cheap. It's not a slogan. In fact, it's not even possible. It's impossible for us to love each other, right? Unless we have the Holy Spirit in us. Unless we know the God who created us to love each other. You know, I don't expect people who aren't Christians to love me. Maybe I might expect them to be polite and civil and all that kind of stuff. I don't expect them to love me. I don't expect people who aren't Christians to lay down their life for me. Because that's quite a ridiculous expectation. And it's something that humans can't do in of themselves. But what we can do, what we are able to do when we have been changed by the Holy Spirit, is to love one another, is to lay down our lives for each other. So this whole idea of loving one another, it's not easy, it's not cheap, it's not a slogan, it's not even possible, except for the work of the Holy Spirit. I mean, if we look at what the human condition is, what is the human condition, right? It's conflict. From the first, think of it this way, the first human being, as the Bible tells the story, the first human being who was made by humans, who was that? Because we had one human being, Adam, made by God. We had another human being, Eve, made by God. But the first human being made by humans, you know, which is like a baby. You guys know how that works, all right? Yes. So the first human being was Cain. The first human being made by other humans kills his younger brother, murders him. And then from domestic violence to road rage to international conflict that we have today, the human condition has been defined by brothers and sisters murdering each other, hurting each other. Because, you know, when one country goes to war with another country, that's brothers and sisters, right? Human beings, we're all brothers and sisters. First human made by humans kills his younger brother. And it's all because, and it was never meant to be that way. Actually, the world was made perfect. The Bible tells a story that God made everything good. And we broke it. We broke it because we wanted to be our own. We wanted to be in charge. We wanted God to stop being in charge, and we wanted to be in charge. But instead of being in charge, all we did was create in us the need to murder each other. Talk about unintended consequences, right? I want to rule instead of you, God. And then it turns out that all we're ruling is over is conflict on a global scale. The first human made by humans killed his younger brother because we broke what God made perfect. And all human dysfunction since then goes back to that rebellion. I mean, this is what it says in the passage that we read out. Cain murdered Abel because he was evil and Abel was righteous. Cain murdered Abel because he was rebellious, wouldn't follow God, and Abel was faithful and did follow God. If this is the human condition, Cain still murders Abel today, in a sense, right? It's still going on. Brothers still kill brothers today. Cain murders Abel still, and we shouldn't be surprised, this is what John writes, that if we are like Abel, faithful to God, we shouldn't be surprised if that we receive some kind of pushback or resistance or even violence from non-Christians, from people who, instead of following Jesus, follow themselves. Cain murders Abel still, and we shouldn't be surprised if we receive hatred from the world. That's in verse 13. But I think it's bigger than that. I think when we look at the world today, we have brothers killing brothers. We have humans hurting humans. We have humans exploiting humans. We have humans trafficking other humans. We have humans enslaving other humans. You know, there's more slaves now in the world than there's ever been, if you add it all together in human history. It's not like the American Civil War stopped slavery or William Wilberforce stopped slavery. I mean, they did in certain areas, but there's more slaves now than the cumulative amount of slaves ever. Humans hurting humans, exploiting, trafficking, enslaving, addicting, dehumanizing. Well, that's the normal way of the world. And the Bible explains it because we rejected him. And it led to the first brother, the first two brothers, one brother killing the other. And it still happens today. But there's good news, right? There's hope. And this is what John writes about. There's one way to escape. There's one way. There's only one way. There is a way to escape, but there's only one way to escape this cycle of brothers murdering brothers. And that's because another brother comes along. So this is the contrast of two brothers. The first one is Cain. The second one isn't Abel. The second one is Jesus. We know, in verse 14 it says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. There's only one way to stop the madness of domestic violence or war or exploitation or enslavement or addiction or racism or sexism or any other form of dehumanization. The good news of Jesus. The good news of Jesus, who's the true King who shows us a new way to live. So, Jesus isn't only the true King, he's the true brother. Cain might have been the first brother, but Jesus is the true brother. Cain murdered in anger and insecurity, but Jesus died and laid down his life in love and obedience. And Jesus sets the example for us. He shows us a new way to relate to each other. Instead of killing, like Cain, Jesus shows us that we can choose to die. To lay down our lives. Instead of taking, like Cain, Jesus shows us that it's possible to give. Instead of defending ourselves, Jesus shows us it's possible to allow God to defend us. Instead of retaliating, I mean, Jesus teaches us this. He says it's possible, if you follow me, if you give yourself to me, if you allow my Holy Spirit to live in you and to fill you, it's possible for you to turn the other cheek when someone hits you. It's possible for you to love your enemies. Now, Jesus has defeated every enemy, and he did it by dying. He did it by laying down his life. you know, that idea of turning the other cheek, isn't that really countercultural? Don't we live in an age right now where it's almost our right to get righteously offended? It's like, oh, you triggered me. Now let me tell you why you're a bad person and why I'm better than you. And that's not to make fun of certain offences, and I get all that. But we almost celebrate this is I'm entitled to be righteously indignant and offended at you. When Jesus says, rather than being entitled to be offended, you're empowered to forgive. Jesus lays down his life so we can live in resurrection life and love our brothers and sisters. Verse 14, it says again, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Verse 16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Maybe, Jeff, do you mind jumping up? Jesus lays down his life for us. That's how we know what love is. You know, I want to know what love is. And then Jesus comes and lays down his life. Jesus lays down his life for us so we can live in resurrection life right now. Not just when I die and live the new creation. I start to live in resurrection life now. Jesus lays down his life so that I can live in resurrection life right now and love my brothers and sisters. Jesus died so we could stop being Cain. Before Jesus laying down his life for me, I was doomed. I was sentenced to be Cain forever. To be a brother who murders, who gets angry, who wishes he could murder. You know, I've never murdered anyone. Have I ever wished to do harm to people? Have I ever wished to exact vengeance on someone? Absolutely. Have I ever had a fantasy where my righteous rage is poured out on a person who cuts me off in traffic that I could have? This maybe you've never gone this far. But I've wished that I could have the power, like, to blow up people's engine blocks, and just like, you know, I don't want to hurt them, but I want their car to stop working, so I can just get around them, you know. Pray for me, guys. Jesus died so I could stop being Cain. You know what? Jesus died so that he could use me to save Cain. The Cains out there. The ones who are stuck in a cycle of anger and violence and exploitation and all sorts of unhealthy things. Jesus died so we could be used by him to save Cain, to set him or her free. You know, this is the power we have as followers of Jesus, as Christians. This is the power we have here in Every Nation Melbourne, is we get to choose which brother we are to those around us. I can still, as a Christian, choose to act like Cain, or I can choose to live the life that Jesus has empowered me to live. We get that choice. That's the privilege we have. We can choose. Who are you going to choose to be today? Which brother of the two? Will you be like Cain? You don't have to be. If you're a Christian, you don't have to be. Will you be like Jesus? This is the question I want to ask us. Will we lay down our lives for those in our family? For those in our family, like here, our brothers and sisters. Will we serve, will we pray for, will we feed, will we include, will we give money to, will we go on holidays with, will we babysit for, will we drive to the airport, will we read the Bible with, whatever other practical way we can show love, whatever other practical way is in our world is laying down our lives for each other. Some parts of the world,
I don't need to tell you this, but some parts of the world, Christians literally have to lay down their lives for each other. And we're blessed that in Australia, we don't have to do that. But there's still ways we can lay down our lives for each other. Still ways that we can put the interests and welfare of other brothers and sisters in Christ above our own. So that's the question. First question, will we lay down our lives for those in our family? Will we lay down our lives for those outside our family? Our potential brothers and sisters. You know, we live in a city full of potential brothers and sisters. And maybe they're, and you know, if they're not Christians, then they are acting like Cain. They are Cain. It's not, if all it took was human endeavor, human effort to stop being like Cain, then Jesus wouldn't need to die, lay down his life for us. So we live in a city full of Cains, but they are our potential brothers and sisters. What will we do when they do attack us? That's what John writes about. Don't be surprised, brothers and sisters, when the world hates you. So what do we do how will we respond? Or we can respond in kind, like Cain, or we can respond with kindness, like Jesus. What happens when Cain attacks us? Will we respond in kind, or will we respond like Jesus? I wonder if there's someone in your life at the moment who is giving you a hard time. I wonder if they're acting like Cain towards you. Maybe just it takes a moment for you just to have a quick chat with God. God, how do you want me to respond? How do you want me to act? Which brother do you want me to be? You know, I think we're moving into a season as a church where our relationships are strengthening, and the way we serve those around us is going to be attractive to people who don't know Jesus. Let me finish by saying this. We've been given a new life. If you're a Christian here today, then we've been given a new life because of what Jesus has done for us. We've been given a new life. Let's not waste it living like our old life. Dan.